Okay, as I said about the fifth step, I recommend you do the fifth step with a sponsor. Yes.
When I've done four-step inventory, I have had four lists. And the reason my sponsor told me to make four lists, one was resentment, fear, sexual conduct, and then harms that I've done outside of sexual conduct.
Right.
The reason for that being that if say, I get into a fight and I'm not resentful at him anymore, I don't fear him anymore, and I have certainly not slept with him, then he would not go on my inventory.
Mm-hmm. So. That's how your sponsor had you did it, and that's very good. The way I do it, all that's covered under resentment when you say I'm resentful at myself. When you say I'm resentful at myself, that covers all those things. So, I mean, either way, it's good. It's just everybody has a different way of going through the steps. So, I mean, my sponsor pretty much kept me into the three that are in the book, covering everything I felt guilty about under resentment about myself. So, but that is good to do harms done other people, but that falls in here under resentment on things I feel guilty about that I did. Does that make sense? Yeah. But both ways are good. This is just a way. It's not the way. Okay. Whoops. Okay. I'm going to read a bit. You can take a little break. Get off your little feet. Okay. I'm going to take a break. She's going to take a break. I'm going to read a little bit about step five in the book. And as I said, I really recommend that you do your fifth step with a sponsor if you have a sponsor grounded in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. If you have a sponsor that talks, you know, in a meeting about carrying the message, I believe you carry the message in a meeting and the mess to your sponsor. I don't go to meetings and dump my troubles. You know, first of all, not everybody there practices anonymity. Not everybody there cares about the 12 steps and the 12 traditions. Some people in Alcoholics Anonymous meetings are just taking up space. And they don't care about your anonymity. And so I'm not going to go to a meeting and dump my stuff in a meeting. I'm going to take it to my sponsor who has what I want, who can get me into the solution. You know, and every group's primary purpose is to carry the message. That's one of our traditions. And I heard a tape of six speakers. This is when Bill first introduced the traditions at the convention, at a world convention. And he had six speakers talk on two traditions each. And the speaker that talked on the fifth tradition stated that our primary purpose, every group's primary purpose, is to carry the message. And then he said, what is the message that we carry? He said the message that we carry is the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. So hopefully that's what you're listening for in a meeting when you're choosing a sponsor. And hopefully your sponsor walks like he talks. You know, because I know some people who can talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. But And I know, Iceland, this is all kind of new for you, but it's all fallen into place. And I know God's in charge, and that I just see a lot of enthusiasm here, and I see a lot of people really thirsty for the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I know that AA is in good hands. It's in good hands in Iceland. I just see the lights going on in people's eyes. It was like that when I got here, when they were talking about Joe and Charlie. So, okay. This says, I'm just going to read a couple chapters dealing with step five. It says, having made our personal inventory, what shall we do about it? We have been trying to get a new attitude, a new relationship with our Creator, and to discover the obstacles in our path. We have admitted certain defects, but we have ascertained in a rough way what the trouble is. We have put our finger on the weak items in our personal inventory. Now these are about to be cast aside. This requires action on our part, which, when completed, will mean that we have admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our defects. This brings us to the fifth step in the program of recovery mentioned in the preceding chapter. I heard somebody read this, was reading their fifth step to me, and all they did is give me what they thought were their character defects. They did what they thought was their inventory, and then they just gave me their character defects. They said, this is my inventory. And then they quoted in here, it says, we admitted to another human being the exact nature of our defects. That's true. That's what that paragraph says. But if you go on, it says we have to tell our sponsor our whole life story. So there's a little more to it than just telling them our defects as we see them. And thank God I had a sponsor who pointed mine out to me, because I would have missed some very important defects I had. Then it says, this is perhaps difficult, especially discussing our defects with another person. We think we have done well enough in admitting these things to ourselves. There is doubt about that. In actual practice, we usually find a solitary self-appraisal insufficient. Many of us thought it was necessary to go much further. We will be more reconciled in discussing ourselves with another person when we see good reason. Why should we do so? The best reason first. If we skimp on this vital step, we may not overcome drinking. Time after time, newcomers have tried to keep to themselves certain facts about their lives. Trying to avoid this humbling experience, they have turned to easier methods. So this is one of the reasons that we do a fifth step with another person, is it humbles us. It's a very humbling experience. Trying to avoid this humbling experience, they have turned to easier methods. Almost invariably, they got drunk. Having persevered with the rest of the program, they wondered why they failed. We think the reason is that they never completed their house cleaning. They took inventory all right, but hung on to some of those worst items in stock. They only thought they had lost their egotism and fear. They only thought they had humbled themselves, but they had not learned enough humility, fearlessness, and honesty in the sense we find necessary until they told someone else all their life story. Okay, and then you turn to page 75. This is in the English version of the Big Book. And we're going to go to this one paragraph. It says, we pocket our pride and go to it, illuminating every twist of character, every dark cranny of the past. Once we have taken this step withholding nothing, we are delighted. We can look the world in the eye. We can be alone at perfect peace and ease. Our fears fall from us. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. We may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. The feeling the drink problem has disappeared will often come strongly. We feel we are on the broad highway walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe. So a lot of people begin to have their spiritual experience after they've taken their fifth step. And I have to tell you that that did not happen for me. I did not have a spiritual experience after step five. I was devastated with the wreckage of my past. The spiritual experience came to me when I got on to step nine, when I started making my amends and cleaning up the wreckage of my past. When I started with my very first amends, the spiritual experience happened for me in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. So if it hasn't happened to you as a result of doing your fifth step, don't be discouraged, because it doesn't happen to everybody in the fifth step. But if you continue the steps and persevere, it will happen. Okay, then it says, returning home, we find a place where we can be quiet for an hour, carefully reviewing what we have done. We thank God from the bottom of our heart that we know Him better. Taking this book down from the shelf, we turn to the page which contains the 12 steps. Carefully reading the first five proposals, which are the steps, we ask if we have omitted anything, for we are building an arch through which we shall walk a free man. Is our work solid so far? Are the stones properly in place? Have we skimped on the cement put into the foundation? Have we tried to make mortar without sand? Okay, now this is where we're going to talk a little bit about the history of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm sure it's a God thing. This is where we're going to talk a little bit about the history of Alcoholics Anonymous. First of all, returning home can be in the heart. That does not mean you have to literally go home, take your big book out of your car and put it up on the shelf so you can take it down. No, you don't have to do that. Returning home can be in the heart. And this is the way I was sponsored, and we'll get into that knowing the history. My sponsor did not trust me to go home and contemplate on my own character defects. She felt it was her job to point them out to me, and I'm very thankful she did. But what she had me do is she had me return home within. She had me go into another room and spend a quiet hour with my higher power and look at those first five steps and ask if I had left anything out. But I did not leave her house. And the reason why she did that is because I come from a line of sponsorship that comes from Dr. Bob. And Dr. Bob was very, very successful working with drunks. He was much more successful working with drunks than Bill was. And I'm thankful for this type of sponsorship. Now, they always had the actions of 6, 7, and 8, even though that wasn't in the first six steps. We're gonna go to, if you have your big book, turn to page 291. This is a story about Earl Treat. And he was the first alcoholic from Chicago to get sober. Now, he heard about this group in Akron, is where AA started, Akron, Ohio, where Bill and Bob got together. He heard about this group in Akron getting sober. And so he went to Akron, and he spent 2 or 3 weeks there trying to absorb as much of the program as he could. He actually did his steps with Dr. Bob. He went back to Chicago, and he started the whole movement of Alcoholics Anonymous in Chicago. So we're going to talk a little bit about the steps here. You're going to see what the 6 steps were and the actions they took at the moral inventory. So at the bottom, it says, the day before I was due to go back to Chicago, a Wednesday, and Dr. Bob's afternoon off, he had me down to the office, and we spent 3 or 4 hours formally going through the 6-step program as it was at that time. So I've already heard people here say that it's recommended they don't even start the steps for a year. I mean, this guy started it immediately. He was barely sober. He started his steps immediately. And they didn't spend years and years doing them. He did his steps in a matter of 3 or 4 hours. But the difference is, back then, they didn't have a big book that they had to study. So it's going to take us longer because we're studying about the big book. We'll study about the mistakes they made and the things that they've learned from the mistakes they made. So anyway, those 6 steps were complete deflation, dependence and guidance from a higher power, moral inventory, confession, restitution, continue to work with other alcoholics. Can you see those are our major steps? Okay, at the moral inventory, so he's with his sponsor, the sponsor's helping him with his inventory, so that's equivalent to doing 4 and 5 at the same time. Because as he's doing it, he's sharing it with his sponsor. And then at the moral inventory, it says, Dr. Bob led me through all these steps. At the moral inventory, he brought up some of my bad personality traits or character defects, such as selfishness, conceit, jealousy, carelessness, ill-tolerance, ill-temper, sarcasm, and resentments. So that is now our step 6. We went over these at great length, and then he finally asked me if I wanted these defects of character removed. When I said yes, we both knelt at his desk and prayed, each of us asking to have these defects taken away. That is now our step 7. This picture is still vivid. If I live to be 100, it will always stand out in my mind. It was very impressive, and I wish every AA could have the benefit of this type of sponsorship today. So there you do see the word sponsorship. Dr. Bob always emphasized the religious angle very strongly, and I think it helped. I know it helped me. Dr. Bob then led me through the restitution step, in which I made a list of all persons I had harmed and worked out ways and means of slowly making restitution, which is now our step 8. So they always had these actions. And when they wrote the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, Bill wanted to stretch those steps into 12, even though there were 6. So he took these actions that they always did, and he made them into steps. And he was in a hurry to get the big book written. And he had 40 alcoholics fighting him. And the stuff that he thought he didn't write that God wrote, and those alcoholics would make him take it out, he'd sneak it back into another place in the big book. So anyway, he expanded these steps into 12. But they always did these actions with the sponsor. They always did it. But because he was in a hurry and he added those steps in the big book, there's only 2 paragraphs on step 6 and 7. And they really don't tell you what to do. It just asks you if you're willing to have these defects taken away, and it gives you the 7-step prayer. But Bill covers that in the 12 and 12. And I know some people, somehow the big books got watered down because a lot of people thought the 12 and 12 was to replace the big book. The 12 and 12 was never intended to replace the big book. The 12 and 12 is to enhance the big book. And step 6 in the 12 and 12, I just think, is one of the best steps. That's my favorite chapter in the 12 and 12. And what it says is, the man that repeatedly works on his other defects of character grows in the image of his creator. So it tells us that we are to do some work. And it says that the man that repeatedly works on his other defects of character grows the image of his creator. And then he says that alcoholism is not a natural instinct, and that when you're ready, God can just get in there and remove it because it's not a natural instinct. But some of our other defects of character are natural instincts that have gone amok, and they're harder to remove. And God cannot remove a natural instinct because he gave us natural instincts to survive. And so sometimes we have to settle for patient improvement. And so some of my defects of character that were not natural instincts were removed, and some of them that I have to deal with, I have an eating disorder. And it's something that I have to settle with for patient improvement. You know, I just have to settle for patient improvement. I've had 12 years of recovery with my eating disorder where, you know, I was thin and I was at the perfect weight and I ate healthy and I worked with others. And then out of nowhere, it flared up on me. You know, it just popped back up. And so now I have to address it again. I can't just say, oh, God's going to remove it when he's ready. No, I can't. I have to do my part. You know, I have to stop eating long enough for God to remove the obsession. And so I'm praying for the willingness, because the big book says if you're not willing, pray for the willingness. You know, and I'm just very thankful that I had a sponsor that did 6 and 7 with me. And Bill says that God will not render you white as snow without your cooperation. So we have to do our part. And so at the very top of my list, my sponsor told me I had self-pity. I would never, ever have guessed that. I needed a sponsor to tell me I had self-pity. I knew that I was a thief. I knew that I prostituted, but I didn't have a clue that I had self-pity. And she made me put that at the very top of my list. You know, and I told her in the most pathetic way that I thought my self-pity was justified. Look at my childhood. You know, and she told me in the most loving way, she said, Michael, alcoholics cannot afford justified self-pity. And then she gave me that old cliche, pour me, pour me, pour me another drink. And so we're going to do a little bit on step 6, the way that I did it. And this is just a way. So you want to go back up to the board and draw a line down the middle of the page? Okay, so you're going to draw a line down the middle of the page. At the top of one side, put defects of character. Okay, and on the other side, replace with. Okay, so what we did is, first of all, we listed all my defects of character. Then my sponsor got on her knees with me. We got on our knees together, and we said the 7th step prayer. And then we went over to the other column, and she said that you can help God remove a defect by working towards the opposite. And so at the top of my list was self-pity. So what is the opposite of self-pity? Gratitude. Gratitude. So what can I do to help God remove that self-pity? I can write a gratitude list. Anytime I know I'm into self-pity, I can write a gratitude list. Okay, another defective character I had was self-centered. It was all about me, poor me. What's the opposite of self-centered? Other-centered. Others-centered. Get out of yourself and help somebody else. Dishonesty. The opposite of that is honesty. And that was very difficult for me, because I found myself in the middle of lying to somebody and having to come to and right then and there admit to them that I was lying, and then tell them the truth. And that is a humbling experience, and that's the one thing that really got me over dishonesty. I mean, it's just habit for me to lie, and I just lie to you about anything. But once I started catching myself in the lie, and the humility I had to just say, I just lied to you, and this is the truth. I was working towards honesty, and eventually that was removed. That dishonesty was removed. Okay, stealing. Okay, the opposite of stealing is giving. There's a whole lot of things. Honesty also would fall into that. But one thing I had to do underneath giving, I had to write a plan of action. I had to commit to my sponsor that every day I would call her and commit not to steal. And anytime I had the thought of stealing, I had to think of somebody else that I could help or give to. And she had me do things like if somebody, we have parking meters in California, and you put a quarter in to park for so many minutes. And she had me do things like if somebody's parking time had ran out and they could get a ticket, things that I could do to be giving instead of taking and stealing was to take a quarter and put it in the parking meter, my own quarter. So that was some of the actions she gave me to get over the stealing, calling her and committing that I wouldn't steal and finding a way to give. And giving anonymously. Okay, so first of all, we listed the defects of character. My sponsor got on her knees with me, and we said the seventh step prayer. And then we went over to the other column, and we listed things that we could do to help God remove the defect. So anyway, let's just say the seventh step prayer together. And I'll say it line by line, and you repeat after me. This is just for fun. And if you want to know where that is in the English Big Book, it's on page 76. And you guys don't need to know it because I'm going to say it line by line and you're going to repeat after me. You know, I do this thing in my house where we take, every Wednesday night we have a house full of newcomers, and every Wednesday night we go through steps, and within a 28 period we get them through the first three steps and on their fourth step. And anyway, I had all these, they're soldiers actually from a treatment center, and I had all these soldiers in a big circle in my AA room, and we were holding hands and we were getting to say this prayer. And actually, we were saying the third step prayer that starts off with God. And I said, okay, you repeat after me. Now, I have a dog named Spirit, and Spirit was in there in the room. It's short for Sunlight of the Spirit out of the Big Book. And so the first word I was going to have to start off was God. And Spirit went up there and, you know, was sniffing somebody's crotch. And I went, Spirit. And so the whole group goes, Spirit. Okay. I'll say it line by line, and you repeat after me, okay? My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. Okay, have any of you ever noticed in the third step prayer, it doesn't say amen, but in the seventh prayer it does? Have you ever wondered why? Well, I think it was just an oversight, but somebody told me that was because the seventh step prayer was a continuance of the third step prayer. But that didn't come from an old timer. That just was somebody's opinion. That was not in the Big Book. Okay. So now we've done six and seven. So now we're going to move on to step eight. We have our inventory of the people that we've hurt. So let's get a piece of paper with three columns. And again, this is the way my sponsor did it with me. First column is short-term amends that I can do within 6 months. Second column is long-term amends, which can take me as long as it needs to. It took me 12 years to finish my list of amends because I had a lot of wreckage out there. The third column is we work out ways and means of making restitution to people we can't get hold of or institutions we can't get hold of. That doesn't mean because we can't get hold of them, we don't do anything about it. There are ways to take care of these things. Okay, say somebody has died and you still need, the Big Book says, okay, we're gonna talk a little bit about first of all, let's just go to the first column. First column is, amends that we can make within the 6 months, and for 6 months, and those are usually face-to-face amends that we can make with family, friends, businesses. The second column, long-term amends, which is usually financial. Not always. In the long term, it could be somebody that we're just not willing yet. There's so much hate and resentment, we're not willing yet. So we're going to put them in long-term amends. But most of the things that go in long-term are financial. Most alcoholics that get here and just get sober have a lot of financial problems, and they just can't go out there and make restitution to everybody. So you might have to set up payment schedules. So what I did in the first column is I had things like my mom, my daughter. I made amends to them right away. Verbal amends. In the second column, I had the church, which was really the biggest thing I had to deal with because I turned to church to recover, and I ended up seducing the minister and stealing the church money. And so I had to go back to that minister and tell him that I stole the church money. And I set up a payment schedule to pay back the church. So it took me a long time. Every week I would send them $10 or $20 until I paid off that money. So I set up payment schedules, and I took one thing at a time. And when I got one thing paid off, I addressed another thing. So that went into, and that's why it took me 12 years to finish that column. And it doesn't matter how long it takes you. It just, as long as you're doing something, as long as you're willing and you're doing something, it doesn't matter how long it takes you. And while you're doing step 9, you still have to live in 10, 11, and 12. If we waited to complete step 9, none of us would get on with helping others. So, okay, and then the last column, worked out ways and means of making restitution to institutions we can't get hold of, or maybe people who are deceased. Okay, one person that I had to put in that last column was a dentist. I went to a dentist in Colorado. He fixed my teeth, hit my tooth, and gave me a payment schedule to pay him back. And in the meantime, I moved back to California and did some drinking and stuff. And then when I got sober and I made a list of all the people that I owed money to, he came up. And I did everything in my power to find out how to get hold of him, everything. And nobody in Colorado would talk to me. They wouldn't have anything to do with me. And so I just couldn't find this man's name. So I didn't get away with not making that amends. My sponsor told me to go to a dentist in the Long Beach area where I lived and give him $50 to go towards the bill of someone who couldn't pay. So that's how I made amends for that. I ran out on a rent. I owed somebody $1,000 for a rental. I was renting an apartment from him and left, and I owed him $1,000. And this was several years later, and I tried to locate this man. And he was from a foreign country. And he had sold that building and moved back to his country. And I did everything to locate him. I got real estate agents to find out who now owned the building. I contacted that person, and they had no idea how to get hold of the previous owner, so there was no way I could make amends to this man. So what my sponsor had me do is she had me go make donations to a shelter for the homeless. I made donations to a shelter for the homeless until I paid off $1,000. So there's ways and means of making restitution. I sponsor a lady named Vivian, and her daughter died in a car accident as a direct result of her alcoholism. And instead of accepting responsibility, she blamed God for it, and she drank for another 14 years over her daughter's death. And after I started working with her, we had to put Tina, her daughter, at the very top of her amends list. And in the big book, it says, sometimes you cannot meet people face to face. And if you can't meet them face to face, you write an honest letter. And so she wrote her daughter a letter, and we went to the graveside where her daughter was buried. And no, you know, she had never even seen her daughter's grave, never even seen her daughter's grave. She was in the hospital for over a year with her own injuries. And so she read this beautiful letter to her. She buried her AA chip, and that was her way of making amends. And a wonderful thing happened at the graveside. When she started reading this letter that she wrote to her daughter, a cool breeze came. And it was just blowing, because it was 105 degrees out there in Columbia, South Carolina. And the temperature must drop from 105 down to 80, and my hair was blowing back, and her hair was blowing back, and we looked around, and none of the trees were blowing. It was just blowing around this graveside, and as soon as she read the letter and buried the chip, the breeze just stopped, and at that point, this little ladybug flew past me and flew right onto Vivian, and she's just looking at this ladybug. She's just mesmerized by this ladybug, and she later told me that she couldn't leave while that ladybug was on her, because ladybugs were her daughter's very favorite thing. And so we don't believe the spirit was in the ladybug. We just believe that was a sign for her higher power that gave Vivian peace. And we both collect ladybugs in the spirit, in the memory of Tina today, and also in the memory of all the innocent children of alcoholic parents. This is a very serious disease. This is a family disease, and it affects everyone close to the alcoholic. Okay, so does anybody have any questions?
If you steal from a store,
mm-hmm.
and you are broke, I mean, what can you do?
Well, you can go to them and tell them that you stole. And
what
is
when you're doing
it? When you're doing it?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. If you're doing it, you can ask God to help you not do it and go home, go call your sponsor. Make amends right away. That's what I do. If I caught myself stealing and I know it's wrong and I'm working a program of Alcoholics Anonymous, I just say this is one of those old ideas. God, please help me. And let me set this right now. And if you don't do it right then, hopefully in your 10th step at night, you'll write about it and you'll go back and you'll do it the next day. And you can give that item back if you're caught in the middle of doing it. If you catch yourself in the middle of doing it, you can give it right back. Okay. All right, so now we're going to move on to steps 10, 11, and 12.
Michael, there's a question here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hi. What about if... you stole something and you want to give it back, but the person you stole it from doesn't want to get it back.
Well, if you stole something and you want to give it back and the person doesn't want it back, I don't think there's anything you do. I'd go give it to some charity.
Else.
I don't want to sit there and remind me of my past.
No, the thing is, like, if I still have the guilt.
Mm-hmm.
And
did you go back and tell them how very sorry you were? Yeah. It doesn't matter. You know, that does not matter. And guilt's not a bad thing. Everybody thinks guilt's a bad thing. Guilt's a good thing. You know, I mean, when it destroys you and you get into remorse and morbid reflection, as the book talks about, then it's a bad thing. But if it's a kind of guilt that keeps you from doing it again, it's a good thing. It shows you have a conscience. You're not a sociopath. You know, guilt's a good thing. Okay, but it doesn't matter. The big book says it doesn't matter how they react. You've done your part. You didn't drink, did you? The amends worked. It worked if you didn't drink. The amends worked. Okay. All right, so let's move on to 10, 11, and 12. I'm sorry this is such a quick overview. Okay, so step 10 starts on 84. Okay, this thought brings us to step 10. Now, in the big book, as my sponsor worked with me, 10, 11, and 12 are very commingled. They're very commingled. So we're going to read a little bit about step 10. It says, this thought brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory. Okay, we're to continue taking inventory on a daily basis. Now in step 4, on the inventory, it says we got it down on paper. And it says we've written a lot. So that means it's a written inventory. If we're continuing to take inventory, it's a written inventory. And we continue to set right any mistakes as we go along. We vigorously commence this way of living as we cleaned up the past. We have entered the world of the spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. This should continue for a lifetime. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, we ask God to remove them. We discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly if we have harmed anybody. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code. And I use that as a mantra for me. Love and tolerance of others is my code. Anytime I'm impatient or I'm judging somebody or I'm getting upset, I just remind myself, in Alcoholics Anonymous, love and tolerance is our code. Now, this is telling us that we're to continue watching for selfish dishonesty, resentment, and fear. Now, if you catch yourself right in the middle of it and you can make right then and there, good. That's good. Then you don't really have to do too much about it. But because this says we're to continue a personal inventory, it's recommended at the end of the evening you write about it. Now, this is telling us to continue watching for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, fear. Now turn to page 86, and it tells us when to do that. Now, did you notice in that paragraph, I used to say a daily personal inventory was 4 through 9. It's really 4 through 12. It's really 4 through 12 on a daily basis because it's telling us to try and help somebody else. It's telling us to ask God to forgive us and remove this. I mean, it's really a 4 through 12 on a daily basis. Okay, so it says, when retiring at night, it tells us what to look for in step 10. Now it tells us when to do it. If you catch yourself doing it at the time all through the day, good. But how many of us do that? Sometimes we hurt people without even knowing it. Sometimes we get into that without even knowing it unless we review our day. So it says in step 11, we review our day. And it says we constructively review our day, not destructively. Constructively review our day. When we retire at night, we constructively review our day. Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Do we owe an apology? Have we kept something to ourselves which should be discussed with another person at once? Were we kind and loving toward all? So now it's telling us we don't just look at the bad, we also look at the good. Were we kind and loving towards all? Or were we kind and loving towards most people? We need to be aware of what we're doing good. What could we have done better? This, I think, is very important to write on. Sometimes we don't know how to change our behavior or our actions unless we know what we can change them to. Okay, were we thinking of ourselves most of the time, or were we thinking of what we could do for others and what we could pack into the stream of life? So if you did a lot of things that day that showed that you were really trying to think of others, packing to the mainstream of life, write about that. You're just not going to write about the bad. You're also going to write about the good. And this, please, if you have this book, underline this part. But we must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection, for that would diminish our usefulness to others. So we don't use these steps to beat ourselves up with. That's not the point of doing these steps. The point is just to be aware of what we're doing and quickly make amends when we've harmed anyone. After making our review, we ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures need to be taken. And so that's how I do what I call my 10th step. Even though it's under step 11 here, because 10 and 11 are commingled, it tells us what to do in step 10, and it tells us in step to do it when to do it on retiring at night. Now, in the 12 and 12 under step 10, it gives you several ways of doing your 10th step. It goes into step 10 a little more. It says you can do a balance sheet. This is step 10 in the 12 and 12. And it says on one side you list all your defects for the day, all your liabilities for the day, and on the other side you list all your assets for the day. So that's another way of doing the 10th step. So it's telling you, you don't only look at the bad, you also look at the good. But and I did that for a very long time. I did a balance sheet for my 10th step because I had such low self-esteem. I really needed to see in black and white what I was doing right and what things in my life were better. And I always had more assets than I did liabilities. But today I do my 10th step out of this paragraph. There's 7 questions. And at night before I go to bed, I write on each one of these questions. And this has been a very useful tool in my recovery and maintaining some serenity and not getting into that insanity, is this paragraph. Okay. Now, on awakening, this tells us that on awakening, we think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, self-seeking motives. So in the morning, what I do my prayer and meditation in the morning, and I always pray for God to direct my thinking. I pray to be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, self-seeking motives. And now that I'm married, my husband gets on our knees together a lot of the time, and we say the 3rd step prayer and the 7th step prayer together. And then I do a form of meditation on my own where I try to listen to God. I just try to get quiet. You know, I say a few prayers, and I try to get quiet, and I try to get some direction on my own. That's what I do in my form of prayer and meditation. Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance, for after all, God gave us brains to use. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. In thinking about the day, we may be faced with indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take. Here we ask God for inspiration, an intuitive thought or decision. We relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. We are often surprised how the right answers come after we have tried this for a while. What used to be the hunch or occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. Being still inexperienced and having just made conscious contact with God, it is not probable we are going to be inspired at all times. We might pay for this presumption in all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. Nevertheless, we find that our thinking, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration. We come to rely upon it. And then down at the bottom of that page, it says, if circumstance warrant, we ask our wives or friends to join us in morning meditation. And I just think it is such a blessing to be married to a man that I can get on my knees and pray with. It's a gift. It's an absolute gift. And so you can read here on page 86, 87, 88. It'll give you some directions. It tells you to, you know, if you have a religious denomination, see to it. It doesn't tell us that religion's bad and not to pray. It tells us that, you know, if we have, that's part of, you know, step 11. If we have a religious denomination that is important to us, we see to it. We walk hand in hand with religions of all kinds. We walk hand in hand with the medical profession. You know, I used to put down the psychiatric effort and I used to put down religion. And I had an old timer just pull me by the ear and point out to me that we walk hand in hand with these two institutions and that we owe a lot to both of these institutions. They really helped us in the beginning days of Alcoholics Anonymous. Okay, we're going to read one paragraph here on working with others, and then we're going to do something on step 6 that'll take about 15 minutes, 6 and 7, that I'd put off because I wasn't sure about the time frame, but it's a fun thing to do. And she's going to read about the problem, and I'm going to read about the solution. These are some of the main character defects that we deal with. But first of all, let's read this last part on working with others so we make sure we get all this in. top of page 89, it says, practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. It works when other activities fail. This is our 12th suggestion. Carry this message to other alcoholics. You can help when no one else can. You can secure their confidence when others fail. Remember, they are very ill. And this is one of my favorite paragraphs. Life will take on a new meaning. To watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow up about you, to have a host of friends. This is an experience you must not miss. We know you will not want to miss it. Frequent contact with newcomers and with each other are the bright spot of our lives today. And I can tell you everything that I've learned about myself, I learned by working with others. And I just hope if your program is stale and you feel like you're in a rut, that you throw yourself harder into working with others. Just try it. But obviously you can't transmit something you haven't got. So you have to have done the steps first. At least steps 1 through 8, working on step 9, living in 10, 11, and 12. Throw yourself harder into working with others. Okay, we're going to go through a little bit on character defects. These are just some of the defects that are glaring for some of you. She's going to read it. This is just going to be a fun thing. She's going to read about it in Icelandic, the problem, and I'm going to read about it, about the solution. She worked very hard at translating this, so.
I'll just tell you when I
I'll give you that, and I'll take this. Oh, that's yours. Okay, hope I can read my part. Okay. Okay.
AA og Al-Anon félagar hafa komist að raunum að ef þeir vilja lifa eftir AA Al-Anon leiðinni, verður þeir að vera reiðubúnir til að ganga eins langt og þar til þess. Þá eru þeir reiðubúnir að stíga ákveðin spor. Til að koma í veg fyrir að við drekkum og lifum í illa lyktandi hugsanhætti, eða stinking thinking, leitumst við að bera kennsla á einkennin og, komast að rótum vandans sem líkamlegt ofnæmi og þráhyggja hugans. Flest okkar komast að því að aðal ástæð fyrir vandamálum okkar í lífinu það hversu vannþroska við erum á tilfinningasnipsviðinu. Við virðist vera fólk sem hefur engan varnir gegn árásum afvega leitra tilfinninga. Við eigum það til að fara út í öfgar, venjulega með því að leggja á flótta, til að reyna að henda tilfinningalega sársauka og óþægindi. Þegar við kynnumst prógraminu verðum við meðvituð að vímugjafarnir sem við þurfum að vara okkur á eru ekki bjór, léttvín, viski, vodka, tequila, gin eða önnur eiturlyf. Heldur tilfinningalegi vímugjafar, reiði, umburðarleysi, sjálfsvorkun, gremja, afbrýðisemi, óheðileiki og sjálfsblekking, gagnrýni, ótti, þunglyndi og það að kenna öðrum Reiði. Banvænt eitur fyrir andlegt heilbrigði og æðruleysi. Drifkraftur fyrir þá sem vilja leika guð í eigin lífi. Högg reiðinnar þurrkar út skynsemi og sjálfstjórn. Þegar við steypum okkur í hyldýpi þessa tilfinningalega vímuefnis, njótum við þess að breytast í mannskan hvirvilbyl. Slíkur stormur getur skilið eftir sig yfirþyrmandi rústir.
Okay. Solution. If just one whiff of anger sets up the compulsion to act on it, practice total abstinence. Restraint of pen and tongue. This is page 91 in the 12 and 12, the English 12 and 12. She can't translate that, the 12 and 12. She uses the English 12 and 12. Okay, if we were to live, and the reason why I'm giving you page numbers is hopefully that you'll go to these page numbers and they'll help you with these problems. And I have some extras of these if anybody wants them. Okay, if we were to live, we had to be free of anger. Page 66 in the big book.
85 í íslensku.
That does not mean we stuff anger. It means we step 10 anger, which is really 4 through 9. Or as I said earlier, 4 through 12. Remember, love and tolerance of others is our code. Step 10 in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. That's in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Should the compulsion get the upper hand, the third step it and fifth step it when sanity has returned. Strength to resist taking the first drink of anger comes from daily uses of the 12 steps, especially 6 and 7, slogans and willingness to assume responsibility.
Umburðarleysi. Tilfinningaleg ölvun sem mengar tólspora vinnu. Þannig að útiloka meðvitund það sem við höfum heyrt í prógraminu. Það veldur tilfinningalegri hlutdrægni og fordómum. Andi umburðarleysis getur hrakið burt alkoholista sem unnt hefði verið að bjarga ef slík heimska hefði ekki verið höfð í frammi. Þetta blasir 119 í aðalbókinni.
Solution. Daily doses of live and let live, which is in the big book, plus an open mind. Seek to develop compassion, the highest form of emotional maturity. Begin with steps 6 and 7. Step 10, love and tolerance of others is our code, page 84 in the big book. The prayer of St. Francis, page 99, step 11 in the 12 and 12. We can also begin with self-compassion. That is, be good to yourself. Self-compassion means realizing the meaning, quality, and intensity of one's own emotions. Do not use step 10 to beat yourself up. Step 11 in the big book says we must be careful not to drift into remorse or morbid reflection, for that would diminish our usefulness to others, page 86.
103 í íslensku.
The emotional identification of self enables you to feel for others. Learn to distinguish between a person and his behavior and detach from the problem, but not from the person.
Sjálfsvorkun. Sjálfsvorkun er leiður galli í fari fólks. Hún stendur í vegi fyrir andlegum framförum og spillir samskiptum við aðra sökum sífelldrar kröfu athygli og samúð. Sjálfsmeðungun er píslarvættis tilhneiging sem fer okkur ekki vel. Þetta eru lífsviðhorfum Bills, blaðsíðu 238. Og svo hérna reyndi ég ekki að þýða frasan pour me, pour me, pour me another drink. Það kom fella eitlund.
Okay, solution. Steps 6 and 7. Doing gratitude lists. 11-step prayer in the big book on page 86. We ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking to be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, self-seeking motives. Avoid then the deliberate manufacture of misery. But if trouble comes, cheerfully capitalize upon it as an opportunity to demonstrate his omnipotence. That's on page 133 in the big book.
144 í íslensku.
Hourly doses of daily gratitude, appreciation, and admissions of God's grace. Stop hanging out in mental dumps. Stop keeping company with bad companions, such as resentment, fear, selfishness. Don't flirt with self-justification and self-righteousness, which will sweet-talk you into a dive. Total abstinence is hardly possible unless the self-pity trips are replaced with being others-centered. Substitute daily contact with a higher power and group members for the frequent visits to self-pity bars.
Gremja. Tilfinningalegur vímugjafi sem eimaður af brestum. Stendur öruglega í vegi fyrir framför í sporum 3 og 11. Að drekka í sig gremju eitrar andlega framför og gerir okkur oft að tilfinningalegum þrælum þess fólks og hluta sem við berum hatur til. Árangursrík leið til að lifa í vímu gremjunar að fara pöpparöld á milli reiði, sjálfsvorkunar, umburðarleysis, afbreiðsemi, ótta og síðan heim í ótrúlega þingu og þunglindi. Hérna úr A-bókinni blaðsi 83. Efst á blaðsi gremja, svo tilfinning að verið sé að gera manni rangt til. Hún gerir út af við fleiri alkoholista en nokkuð annað. Af henni eru allskins sjúkdómar, andlegir sjúkdómarsbrotnir, þegar við höfum ekki aðeins verið sinnisveik og líkamlega sjúk, við höfum verið andlega sjúk. Þegar við höfum sigrast á andlegum sjúkdómum, byrjum við fyrst að jafna okkur á geði og líkama. Og blaðsi 85. Það augljóst að þegar djúbreitt gremja setur stimpil sín á líf manna muni það aðeins leiða til óhamingju og tilgangsleysis. Í réttu hlutfalli við þetta fara þær stundir forgörðum sem hefðu ekki orðið einhvers virði. Vonir alkoholistans byggjast á því að halda í andlega þroskareyslu sína og vaxa með henni og fyrir hann það óendanlega alvarlegt mál að lifa og hrærast í beiskju. Fyrir okkur var það örlagaríkt. Meðan við ljáum slíkum tilfinningum rúm nær hið andlega sólskin ekki til okkar.
Okay, solution to resentment. Step 4 and 4th step prayer. We ask God to help us show them the same tolerance, pity, and patience we would cheerfully grant a sick friend. This is a sick man. How can I be helpful to him? God, save me from being angry. Thy will be done. And sometimes being helpful is doing nothing. Be sure to put it down on paper, and the fourth column, looking at our part, a must. Step 10, 11, and 12. Helping others can get us out of ourselves long enough for God to get in there and remove the resentment.
Afbrýðisemi.
Jealousy.
Úr A-bókinni blaðsíðu 99. Hafðu það ætið hugfast að við hér að fást við hræðilegustu ástríðu mannsins, afbrýðisemina. Og blaðsíðu 155. Reiði, afbreiði, öfund og vonleysi og ótti eru verstu óvinir okkar alkoholista. Áhrifaríkur kokteill af gremju, ótta, öfund og lágu sjálfstrausti auk einstaklega mikils ótta. Óöryggis, fyrir geðan. Ef við dreipum reglulega og benjum afbreiðseminar, missum við stjórn á sjálfum okkur. Þessi geðræna blanda skerðir hugarró og alvarleg ógnun við trúartraust og traust til okkur sjálfra, annarra og æðri máttar. Ef afbreiðsemi hleypt inn í prógrammið, skaðar hún eining okkar og samfélag. Hún skaðar AA og Alanon í heild sinni.
Okay, solution to jealousy. Recovery is possible through daily attention to spiritual needs. Humility, daily injected, disperses the residual effects of jealousy. Definitions of humility. Humility, a word often misunderstood to those who have made progress in AA. It amounts to a clear recognition of what and who we are, followed by a sincere attempt to be all that we could be. That's page 58, step 5 in the 12 and 12. Definition 2, not thinking less of ourselves, but thinking of ourselves less. Third definition, being teachable. A step 4 and a step 5 reveals the exact nature of one's compulsion to this green-eyed monster. Step 6 and 7 also puts to rout this insidious mind bender. Write it down, talk about it one-to-one, not at a meeting level. Remember to carry the message to the meeting and the mess to your sponsor or whoever has what you want. Get out of yourself and help someone else. Doing any kind of esteemable act builds self-esteem. And when you have self-esteem and you feel confident, you don't experience jealousy.
Þunglindi, tilfinningalegur vímugjafi af róandi gerðinni, hættulegt æruleysinu. Einn gúlsopi af þunglindi þeytir manni ofan í hyldýpi eftirsjár og höfnunar, þannig að maður flýtur í persónlegu helvíti þar sem maður kemst ekki snertingu við neitt sem kalla mætti jafnvægi. Okkar tilfinningalega sjón rennur út í móðu þannig við sjáum ekki útrétta hjálparhönd. Okkar tilfinningalega heyrn veikist og við heyrum ekki orð uppörfunar og styrks. Okkar tilfinningalega skynnæmni deitt, við upplifum ekki kærleika. Okkar tilfinningalega bragðskyn deyfist, við finnum alltaf bragð af einangrun og depurð. Okkar tilfinningalega lyktarskyn veikist svo við finnum ekki ilminn af samlyndi og félagsskap. Öll tilvera okkar svo sljóðguð af þunglyndi að raunsætt samband við okkur sjálf og aðra gert brottrækt.
Okay, solution to depression. What step are you on? If you can honestly say you are current on your steps, and giving back, then you might have to turn to page 133 in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Pouring yourself into the steps and vigorously giving back usually takes care of depression. It gives us a purpose to live. Page
144.
And the Big Book says we are sure God wants us to be happy, joyous, and free. Page 77.
94.
Says our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. When we do this, we experience the fourth dimension of existence that Bill describes on page 8.
38.
In that fourth dimension, Bill says I was to know happiness, peace, and usefulness. A body badly burned by alcohol does not often recover overnight. Nor do twisted thinking and depression vanish in a twinkling. We are convinced that a spiritual mode of living is the most powerful health restorative. When the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. On page 64,
after 2-3,
that's on page 64, okay. That does not mean that the steps cure cancer, or grave emotional mental disorders. It does mean that God can direct us to the help we need. See page 133 in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. But this does not mean that we disregard human health measures. God, and I repeat, God, has abundantly supplied this world with fine doctors, psychologists, and practitioners of various kinds. On page 133, it says, do not hesitate to take your health problems to such persons. And I just hate to hear a member of Alcoholics Anonymous stand up here at the podium and play doctor. And I have a couple sponsorees that committed suicide because they really needed to be on medication, and because members of Alcoholics Anonymous stood up to the podium and played doctor, she refused to take it, two of them, and they ended up committing suicide. That is not our job in Alcoholics Anonymous. That is an outside issue. Most of them give freely of themselves that their fellows may enjoy sound minds and bodies. Try to remember, though God hath wrought miracles upon us, we should never belittle a good doctor or psychiatrist.
Að kenna öðrum
Blame.
Hvass og ísmegilegur tilfinningalegur drykkur. Þegar við gæðum okkur á honum, gefum við hömlum okkar og brestum frelsi og beinum þeim á allt það ófullkomna og óstyrka fólk sem þarna úti. Nokkrir slurkar hleypa okkur að kjarna okkar magnaða eðlis og fletta ofan af glappaskotum þeirra sem eru vegtálmar á vegi okkar til þeirra vegsemdar og heiður sem við eigum skilið og eru löngu tímabær. Á meðan að manneskja getur skellt skuldina á aðra hefur hún enga þörf fyrir að láta renna af sér og líta í eigin barm. Þegar víma þessara tilfinningar fyrir að dala er hægt að halda henni gangandi með því að blanda saman tegundum, venjulega skotum af gagnrýni, umburðarleysi, gremju og óheiðarleika. Þá sveiflast manneskjan á milli þess að vera frá sér numin af hamingju eða liggjandi í jörðinni, grenjandi á fylleríi. Þegar hún lifir þingun af, man hún aðeins þann yndislega áhrifamátt sem kóttillinn hafði á hana og getur varla beðið eftir næsta túr. Blaðsa 81 í aðabókinni segir, við teljum því að undirrót erfiðleikana séu okkur sjálfum að kenna.
Solution to blame. Daily intake of inventory vitamins. With the emotional tone considerably improved from the inventory vitamins, the need to put oneself at the mercy of any wind that blows on one's world is removed. It is replaced with total abstinence from blame. Total abstinence brings miracles of tolerance, grace, and spiritual rewards reflected in the life of real fulfillment. Page 268 in ODAT, which is the Al-Anon book. Much that happens to me, good or bad, is self-created. Page 347 in ODAT, which is the Al-Anon book. A new beginning is provided every day, and the 24 hours can be started over any time the need arises. And that is good medicine to take.
Ótti.
Fear.
Ekkert meira sjálfhvert en ótti. Í aðbókinni blasi 86 stendur, þetta stutta orð snertir okkur, snertir á einhvern hátt allt okkar líf. Það lá í gegnum allt eins og illur, tærandi þráður sem var ofinn inn í alla tilver okkar. Við erum að tala óheilbrigðan ótta, ekki heilbrigðan. Það munur þar á. Það eðlilegt að óttast að taka fyrsta glasið eða fara við götu á rauðu ljósi. Óheilbrigður ótti að vera hræddur við að leita vinnu eða fara aftur í skóla, fara út úr bænum eða bara tala við fólk. Margir þjást af fóbíum sem lama þrek þeirra og það óheilbrigður ótti.
Okay, solution to fear. Walking through fear exercises faith. Nowhere in the first 164 pages in the big book does it say you cannot have fear and faith at the same time. What it says is that the verdict of the ages is that faith means courage. All men of faith have courage. That's page 68 under the fear inventory.
87.
You don't need courage unless you're afraid. Practice courage by walking through fear and doing steps 4 and 5. The fear prayer on page 68 says we ask God to remove our fear and direct our attention to what he'd have us be. Then it says, at once, we commence to outgrow fear. It does not say, at once, we outgrow fear. It says, we commence to outgrow fear. Step six and seven, fear, and know when we start walking through fear, we are making amends to ourselves and those who have hurt, and those we have hurt because of our fear. Continue to watch for fear in step 10 and in step 11 in the big book. It says, we might have to take some corrective measures. After making our review, we ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures need to be taken. Page 86.
103.
This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for a lifetime. Okay, those are just some of our glaring defects of character, and let's give Maria a hand for what she did. She You did a great job. And does anybody have any questions? Yes.
I want to ask you a question. It's about something happened this morning.
I asked the man who stood up there where you stand if I was in a good cover after 17 days, and he said I was in a better cover than was somebody who been sober for 10 years. So I ask you, can I be a sponsor?
Have you done your first 8 steps?
I got some 3.
If you haven't done your first 8 steps, you have nothing to sponsor. You don't have anything to give. And I say you got 70 days out of grace. God's grace gave you 70 days, and now it's time to start. Start 1 through 12.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to turn it back to Thor. Thank you.